Heavenly Father, we just come before you and lift up this service. Pray that you would fix the live stream and that you would be Lord of this service, all that we say, think, and do. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. We just pray, Lord, that you would fix the technical, be Lord of the technical issues, the sound and the audio. In the name of Yeshua, Lord, that you would help Diane and Isaac get it working. Bring the people that you want to come out today, Lord. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, Lord. Name of Yeshua, Lord. Name above all names. Most High God, El Elyon, El Gibor, the Almighty God, El Shaddai, the All-Sufficient One, Adonai Nisi, the Lord our banner, Adonai Rophe, the Lord who heals, Adonai Yireh, the Lord who sees. Thank you, Lord. We just invite your presence here today. Ask that you take the service from us. Have your way. Thank you, Lord. Shalom, friends. We're sorry for the delay. We've just had some technical difficulties. I'm Rabbi Joe, and this is for Zion's Sake Ministries. And we've got Rebbetzin Don with me today. Lovely Rebbetzin. Captain Rebbetzin Don. Captain Rebbetzin. She's an airline captain. And she's with us today. We're blessed. We're going to get started right away. We've just prayed, and we're going to start with Shabbat Shalom. And we welcome you. Hallelujah. We're here to worship the Lord. Got a good message for you today. Revelation called Hanukkah, the Millennial Temple, and the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Hanukkah, the Millennial Temple, and the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. God's given me a real revelation on it.
Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Yom Zeh Yisrael.
Shabbat Shalom. Welcome again, everyone watching online. We're glad you're with us. Stay with us. We've got a great message for you today. Worship with Rebbetzin Don. And God bless you. And we're glad you're here. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Let's bless the Messiah because he is worthy to be blessed. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu et derech ha-yeshua b'mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in our great Messiah, Yeshua. where you dwell, and the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. The Vishamru, page 45. Vishamru
Vene Israel et HaShabbat Lasod et HaShabbat Ledorotam Barit Olam. Vishamru Vene Israel et HaShabbat Lasod et HaShabbat Ledorotam Barit Olam. B'nei, B'nei, B'nei Yisrael, B'nei Yisrael, Oti le'olam. B'shamru, B'nei Yisrael, et ha-shabbat, la'sok et ha-shabbat, le'dorotam barit olam. Ki sheshet yamim, asa Adonai, Shemayim v'haaretz, v'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. V'yom ha-shvi'i shabbat v'yenafash, shabbat v'yenafash, shabbat v'yenafash, v'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, there'll be peace, not war. God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of our God, we pray for Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You know, people have a misguided conception of Israel, especially Americans. They think that, for example, Benjamin Netanyahu is a great warrior. He's a great war leader. He's a strong leader. But he also is, would Paul support the Pharisees? I want you to think about this for a second. Would the Apostle Paul support the Pharisees? No, he wouldn't. And do you know, Benjamin Netanyahu gives power to the modern-day Pharisees, the Haredim, the ultra-Orthodox, super-religious. He gives them power in Israel to control immigration, who can come to Israel, who can move, whether a Jew or a Messianic Jew or a Christian or any immigrant can come. And they say Israel's a democracy and that religion, there's religious tolerance, but there is no tolerance. Christians aren't allowed to have citizenship for the most part unless they're very wealthy. And Messianic Jews are persecuted and kicked out of the country and not allowed to have citizenship. And that's the Netanyahu government. So, sometimes looks, just because certain American preachers support leaders, doesn't mean they're the best for God's people. And Israel is our homeland, and Christians need to see Israel as their homeland. America, if you have eyes to see, you can see where America's headed. If you have eyes to see, you see the handwriting on the wall for America, just like Persia and Babylon before it. You can see where America's headed. But Israel is the home of all believers and all Messianic believers and all Messianic Jews who love Israel. And those who have eyes to see and ears to hear will want to go. So as we pray, we're going to pray that God parts the sea and allows us to go, those who are persecuted. And you never hear this in the news, that Messianic Jews and many Christians who love Israel are persecuted and they're not allowed to go to Israel, to move there. And so we're going to pray that stops. Amen? So let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we pray, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, Lord, that you would remove the spirit of Shebna, the religious spirit, the Pharisaic spirit, and that you would, of Isaiah 22, that you would remove that Pharisaic spirit that feeds itself. Your word says, woe to the shepherds who feed themselves but do not feed my flock, Lord, who grow fat but do not take care of the sheep. Lord, your word says that, I believe, in Jeremiah 23 and in Ezekiel, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you remove that spirit and remove the people who possess that spirit, and that you would bring in Eliakim, the spirit of Eliakim, of humility and truth and love, that you would make Israel a true democracy that's open to tolerant of believers, that doesn't just take our money and doesn't just take our gifts, but that allows us to have citizenship. We pray that you would part the sea, Lord, that you would give Messianic believers, Messianic Jews and non-Jews, citizenship, and that you'd give citizenship to Christians who want to move to the homeland of the Messiah, that you would give them citizenship. I have a friend who's been living there for 30 years. He still doesn't have citizenship. He's been there for many decades, and he's worked there, but he doesn't have citizenship. It's just crazy. It's nuts. Lord, we just pray that you'd stop that nonsense and take them out of power, and that you'd put the right people in power. I'm not saying who I'm for, or I'm just saying I pray for Aliyah. I pray for the right. You know, every Jew, and I'm a Jew, and I have has a birthright, and that birthright is in citizenship in the land of Israel, inheritance in the land of Israel. And I have that birthright. No man can take it away from me. It's my God-given birthright. And I thank you, Lord, that you restore that to all Jews who it's been taken away from, and even believers who don't even dream that they could live in Israel, that they would start to dream that they can. In Yeshua's name, Lord, I pray for the salvation of the Jewish people, Lord. I pray for that you remove the scales from their eyes, that they would see their Messiah from the top down, from the government and the generals and the military, the IDF, all the way down to the bus drivers and the street sweepers, Lord, in Israel, Lord. I pray from the Orthodox to the secular, to the New Agers and the Buddhists, Jews in Israel, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would open the eyes of the American Jewish people, that you would remove the scales from their eyes. And I pray, Lord, for my friend Bob, who's witnessing to my cousin Michael. I pray, Lord, that you just use Bob effectively, and that they've met on Facebook and been friends for years. And Bob told me he was having a dialogue with Michael. And I just pray right now in the name of Yeshua that you use Bob to open Michael's eyes to the truth that Yeshua is the Jewish Messiah, that he is the Messiah of Israel, not just of the poor, the down and out, and those who need a crutch, but he's the Messiah of all people, of all humanity, and all of Israel, and all the Kol Yisrael, all the Jewish people. He's the Jewish Messiah, Lord. Open his eyes, Lord. Let Michael, the patriarch of our family, see on the West Coast. Let him see you, Lord. And I pray, I've asked you, Lord, give me three or four in my own family who believe besides me. Just give me three or four, Lord, to help me spread the word and spread the gospel, Lord. I pray, I ask for that, Lord. Give me three or four others to help share so that others more will come in the name of Yeshua. It's been so long. And Lord, I pray for the rabbis today. I pray for the messianic leadership that you would remove the spirit of Shebna from them and that you would bring in the spirit of Eliakim into our messianic community, Lord. That you would remove the spirit of Shebna from our messianic leadership and our high leadership, and that you would bring in the spirit of Eliakim. Your word says we have many teachers but few fathers. Give us fathers, Lord, people who truly care, people who truly love the sheep and the flock and the rabbis, senior rabbis who love the junior rabbis, Lord, who teach them and walk alongside them and love them and care about them, Lord. Give us righteous leadership, Lord, and give us vision and give us bold and righteous vision in Yeshua's name, and remove the scales. Bless the rabbis. Help them to preach boldly and preach the truth and not be afraid of man. We take that fear of man and losing tithes for what they say, and give them boldness and give them prophetic spirit, not a religious spirit. Take the religious spirit from our movement, Lord, and save your people Israel. Save our family. I pray for my sisters, yes, and my brother and my nieces and nephews and cousins for their salvation, and all my Jewish people, Lord, that you would remove the scales from their eyes, Lord, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, Lord. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and to gather Israel to himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? For he will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Can somebody help? Thank you, Lord. You okay, Aja? All right. Amen. What are we doing?
Amida. Just flip the page.
Okay.
Be gracious, O Lord our God, to your people, Israel, and accept service of your people, Israel. Always be acceptable to you. Let us see your return in mercy to Zion. Oh, deserving of all praise are you, O Lord, who restores your divine presence to Zion.
Let's all stand for the Shema.
Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kivod, Malchuto Leolam Vaed. Yahavta et Adonai Elohecha, בכל לבבך ובכל נפשך ובכל מאודך, והיו הדברים האלה אשר נוחים אצלך היום על לבבך, ושינתם לבניך, ודיברת בם בשבתך בביתך, ובלכתך בדרך, ובשכבך, ובקומך, וקשרתם להיות על ידיך, והיו לטוטפות בין עיניך, וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך ובשעריך.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and upon your gates. Amen.
Amen. All right, praise the Lord. We're going to do things a little different today because Anthony's not here and Carol's not here. So we're going to take our tithes and offerings right now. And then Don's going to give. We're going to worship after that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, and then we'll have the Lord's table, and we'll have announcements in the message. Praise the Lord.
Be the name of the Lord. world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. On the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name.
Hashem. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If you're watching online and you'd like to contribute, you're right there. You can just go to PayPal and you can give, and you can, you know, you can give to all these stores and all these shopping and stuff like that. But if you want to give and for eternal reward, you can support Israel today.
Amen.
On this Black Friday, Cyber Monday, big sale weekend. Why you can give back to the people who brought you the Messiah, Yeshua, the King of the Jews.
Amen.
You can support Israel by supporting For Zion's Sake Ministries today. Hallelujah. You can give securely online, but if you want a receipt, we need you to give us your address and your email and information. Not so much that we can hound you. We don't do that. But we need to, in order to receipt you, we need your address and your telephone number and so forth. So God bless you. If you like our newsletter, let us know, and we'll sign you up for that. It's all teaching. I give a teaching newsletter. And now we're going to have some worship. So God bless you as you give.
soul and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul. Forget not all His goodness. Bless His holy name. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul. Forget not all His goodness. Bless His holy name. He pardons all your iniquities. He healeth all your diseases. He redeems you from the grave and crowns you with loving kindness. He satisfies your desire for good. He renews your strength. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul. The Lord performs His righteous deeds.
Bless you, Lord. You are the one who blessing flows from. There is no other where we get our blessing. We can search the whole world. We can attain to the mountaintops of fame, of fortune. But nothing satisfies like the filling of our soul by your life, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. And in the humblest of places, like this little synagogue, Lord, is where we find you, where we find satisfaction in life. Hallelujah. We can't find it apart from you, Lord. Forgive us for our pride and focus on ourselves, Lord. Let us focus on you and bless you. He who makes the rivers run the land.
He who makes the pathway in the wilderness. He who makes the sun to rise and rain to fall.
The God of Israel
is the Lord of all.
Maker of the earth and sky.
salvation out of Zion's hill.
He who makes the mountains quake and idols to fall. There is no other one, no other God. On earth it's ever the Lord. Blessed is the Lord who reigns, our God most high. On earth it's ever the Lord.
Hallelujah. We are going to go to the Lord's table, the Shulchan Adonai, and we invite all people watching to come to the Lord's table. If you have some matzah or crackers, if you have some biscuits, if you have some, wherever you're watching, maybe you're in England, you have biscuits or crumpets. Maybe you have cucumber sandwiches. But we invite you to join us and get some fruit of the vine, some grape juice or manischewitz, caramel, or your local store brand, and join us at the Lord's table, okay? I'm gonna make my way down there now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Maria, would you like to serve? Good thing you stood up. Carolyn, would you like to serve too? Okay, all right. Baruch Atarnai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Peri HaGafen Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Where's the bread? Baruch atarnai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, on Passover, Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal. Luke 22 tells us it was a Passover. And he took that third cup, which is taken after every Passover meal, and he took it along with the afikomen, took it along with the afikomen, the bread that is broken and given to every participant of the Passover, taken after the meal also. And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin. And then he said, this bread, he said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance. And by saying these things, he was telling his disciples, using object lessons, using visual object lessons of you know, his blood and his body broken and his blood shed for us. Not so much that these are his body and blood, but that they represent what he was going to do for them. Yes. Amen? And he gave us this sacrament. He said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. And so we come to this table, and as we come, we receive his grace. We can receive his love, his healing. We receive his blessing. We receive eternal life. We affirm that we're believers. We affirm to the world as we step forward to this table and this sacrament, not unlike baptism, that we are believers in the Messiah, that we believe that he is the Son of God, Yeshua, Jesus, that he died for our sins, that he was buried 3 days and three nights, and that he rose from the dead on the third day. Now, if you don't know the Messiah and you'd like to meet him today, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you, okay? You can be watching at home and raise your hand and I'll pray with you. God sent his Son because we've all messed up. We've all made mistakes. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all blown it. There's not one of us who's kept all 613 positive and negative commandments of the Old Testament. In fact, it's impossible to keep all those commandments because the temple's gone, and the sacrificial system is over, and there's no priests. So we can't even possibly offer a sacrifice. So unless Yeshua, and why is that important? Because God said, I've given it to you upon the altar. In Leviticus 17:11, he says, for I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. So he's told us in Leviticus, it requires, in order for atonement for sin, it requires blood sacrifice. Somewhere in the New Testament it says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. So if you don't have that revelation, if you don't know the Messiah today, just raise your hand and say, pray with me. Dear God, just pray this prayer. Dear God, I've made mistakes. I've blown it. I haven't always obeyed your word. I've disobeyed. I have done wrong things.
I've done wrong things.
And I confess to you today.
And I confess to you today.
That I want to be forgiven.
That I want to be forgiven.
So forgive me, God.
So forgive me, God.
Through Yeshua.
Through Yeshua.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Forgive me and wash me.
Forgive me and wash me.
And cleanse me.
And cleanse me.
And make me a new creation.
Make me a new creation.
And put my name. In your book of life.
Your book of life.
And send your spirit.
And send your spirit.
To dwell inside me.
Dwell inside
to live in my heart.
To live in my heart.
Forever and ever.
Ever and ever.
In Yeshua's name.
In Yeshua's name.
Amen. Amen. Now if you prayed that prayer today and God revealed his son to you, please let me know. Message me, call me. I have a gift for you. And we appreciate it. Let us know and we'll send you that gift. So that you can begin your walk with the Lord, okay? God bless you and thank you for watching today. We love you, and we all love you, and we're glad you're with us today. Wherever you are, let us know where you're watching from today. If you're in New York, or if you're in England, or if you're in Florida, or Myrtle Beach, wherever, let us know where you're watching from. God bless you. All right, come, folks, as you're ready. Amen. What song are you doing? Can we play?
I am eternally grateful to Jesus for all he has done for me, giving me
Wendell, could you move my chair, please? Thank you. What? Oh, yeah. Shabbat Shalom. Thank you. Okay. All right. Oh, I got to serve you. Forgot what I'm doing. Shabbat Shalom. Thank you. L'chaim be Yeshua, to life in Yeshua the Messiah. L'chaim. Don's going to turn off the bass. Shabbat Shalom, folks. Everybody here? Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. After. Yeah. Well, I'll give some. You can come give announcements with me, and then I'll share as Isaac gets the message ready. Don's going to share a couple announcements, and then I'm going to preach. I've got a message called the Hanukkah, the Millennial Temple, and the marriage or the wedding supper, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. Hanukkah, the Millennial Temple, and the marriage supper of the Lamb. You're going to be amazed at the connections we're going to make here today that God's given me. So, Don, why don't you share? She has some announcements for you. This is my lovely captain. This is the captain. Captain, my captain. Amen. Captain Rebitz and Don. We salute you.
Yes. Amen.
Am I back on?
All right.
There we go. Hallelujah. So just thank you, Rabbi. Looking forward to your message. And it's been a long process of me becoming a captain, and so I'm starting to get back in. I'll be sort of coming back into the mix more often. So hopefully we've got all that behind us now. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Just a couple of announcements, and first of all. Our next holiday coming up is Hanukkah. So, we're going to prepare for that. And I want to remind the ladies that we'll need to change our look. So we'll talk about that here in the sanctuary. Today is, have you all had a nice time with your families with Thanksgiving? Amen. Hallelujah. So Thanksgiving is kind of a offshoot of Sukkot, and it's a biblical holiday, and so God uses that to minister to our families, and praise the Lord, I was able to be here for Thanksgiving, and so that was really a wonderful time. Thank the Lord for that. But Hanukkah's coming, and so just want to let you know that we've got some special things planned. First of all is a dance. We've got a dance event seminar, and I'm going to, we've got a flyer and stuff like that put together. I'm sorry, I'm stuttering a little bit. But Diane, do you have the information on all of that? So can you just tell me the date and the time, and, or if you want to come up here and just share with people exactly what's going on with the dance seminar, I guess it is, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, Ralph and Mindy Seda are coming from Nevada, and they're going to be visiting our congregation again. And it's December 29th. It's a Sunday. And she will be setting up in our fellowship hall at 5 o'clock p.m. to register anyone. And donations, minimal donation is like $10. And let's see. Make sure. Can you turn to December real quick? Yeah, the 29th. That's what I said. December 29th. So about 5 o'clock to 9 p.m., is the dance conference here in our fellowship hall. And
did you say the registration is
$10? Yeah, a minimal donation. She's just asking for donations of like $10 for an individual, and I don't recall what she said for a family. Like if you have like four or five more people, you know, in your like a group that's coming, like someone's actual another dance team or something that wants to learn. But there, you can check, you can call the office. Vicki Peters, our secretary, also has the information. So if anyone wants to call our office, our phone number, synagogue phone number, 276-644-1678. And that's our Yehuda Messianic Jewish Congregation here in Bristol, Virginia, at 1128 New Hampshire Avenue. Please come. Tell your friends, anyone who, male, female, bring the men. It's actually King David's dance, so we need more men and to dance with us and just really get in there and work and just have a good time in fellowship. Mindy Seda is looking forward to coming again, and she has new dances. There's a new, I guess, a couple of new Hanukkah dances she's got together for us, apparently, so.
Mindy and Ralph are like the premier dance teachers of the Messianic community. They're just world-renowned dancers, and if you Google them, you'll see she is. She puts out these videos, teaching videos, and they all feature different artists like Paul Wilbur, Ted Pierce. You know, so a lot of the ones that the artists that we love, and she designs or collects and puts together dances. And when we get together at these conferences, if you know what we do generally is to dance these dances that have been designed specifically for certain songs. So you know, I want to thank Diane for her hard work. And how many of you enjoy dancing with Diane in our worship? Doesn't she do a great job? Amen. So I enjoy when I get to come down and she leads us. So it's really a special thing for us to really develop that gift that God's given to our congregation. Dance, to me, has always, you know, without the dance, we don't really have the full worship, you know. And our music that comes from Israel, it actually dances. The music itself dances. So if we're not dancing with it, we're really not expressing our worship to God. And dance is a form of worship that goes back to ancient days. And it's been corrupted, obviously, for the world, but God designed it in order to bless him and to speak of him and to release his spirit in our midst. So it's very important that we come together and learn how to dance. We all learn how to sing together, right, corporately, but very few of us learn how to dance together, and that's a corporate way of expressing our love for God. So let's do that. And as Diane said, everyone, we're not just talking about our congregation. Anyone out in the community who wants to learn this, even if it's just a novel idea, you want to learn more about Israel, or you just want to come and learn more about dance, and this is some other form of dance that you'd like to learn, you're welcome to come. There's no restrictions. So just come. We have a nice fellowship hall, and an area to do that. And Mindy, she is just so wonderful. So please come. Be prepared to bless her, because they come as ministers and they walk in faith for their livelihood. Okay, so the other thing I want to mention is that we're having a Hanukkah service, and it's on this Friday, right?
Yes.
Joe, Friday, the first night of Hanukkah is Friday night, the 20th of December, is the first night of Hanukkah. We're going to have a special service right here.
It's not the first night, but it's the first Friday before. First night's here.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. The first night's on the 22nd, but we're going to celebrate Friday night, the 20th. So I'll bring your friends, and Rabbi's going to have a prophetic message. Hanukkah's story is got so much in it for us. It's actually an end times message, if you can believe it. It's also about the Messiah and his coming, but it's really it's also prophetic about his return. So if you've never celebrated Hanukkah, you know, Jesus celebrated it. If you're Jewish and you're just out there, you don't have any place to go, come join us. You know, we'd love to have you. We'd love to have you and your family. We are a family ministry, and we're here to minister to families. If you're Jewish or you want to walk in your Jewish heritage in the Lord, this is a place to do it. We do it in community, and that's how Israel does it. You can't walk out your Jewish life separately. We have to do it together. You know, we have the holidays together. We worship together. We have our life in Yeshua and through Israel together in community. So come, you know, if that's what God's calling you to do. If you're Jewish and you don't have a community to link into, we have all kinds of ways to minister, and so we invite you. Amen? So I think that's, I wanted to mention the Southeast Conference, MJA, is going to be that weekend, December 20th through the 22nd. So just keep that in mind as well. It's a beautiful weekend of worship, and I don't know who would be going, but pick up a flyer, MJA. It's going to be in Orlando at the Rosen Plaza. And there's just always a wonderful lineup of music, worship, and teaching. I'm not sure if Rabbi's on the schedule yet or anything. We'll keep you tuned about what's going on about that. And any other things that I've missed?
Nope.
Just one other family. We're going to go out to Mad Greek tonight. That's what.
Hey, who wants to go?
Who would like to go? Okay, so that's the plan for Oneg today. And then I just want to, for our family, we've got the sukkah out there, and it's been all decorated. And now that Thanksgiving is over, as I mentioned before, we want to kind of change things out, and let's take the decorations down and preserve them so they don't get ruined. And there's a basket downstairs if you want to, you know, put stuff in there. And we'll just take the decorations off. We can leave the sukkah up and just leave it where it's at. But let's get the decorations down. And next thing is Hanukkah. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to transfer back to you,
okay,
Rabbi.
Thank you. And Diane, I guess I wasn't on. Now I'm on. Okay, good. All right, thank you. Praise the Lord. Let me pray, and then we'll start that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message that you've given me today on Hanukkah and the Millennial Temple and the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. We just thank you for this word. Anoint me, Lord, and make me a vessel. Empty me of Joe. Empty me of myself and my selfish ways, Lord. And fill me with your Spirit. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight through Yeshua. Bring forth this word now. Anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see. what you have from your word, truth from your word, and bind the enemy, bind the strong man, Lord. Give people a willing heart to hear something that they may have never heard before and consider. In Yeshua's name, amen. All right. Praise the Lord. So, all right. Thank you. Welcome, folks, on Facebook. Hi, I'm Rabbi Joe, and it's great to have you with us. Today's message is entitled, I want to welcome the friends on Facebook. Let's give them a round of applause. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, Facebook friends. Today's message is Hanukkah and the Millennial Temple and the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. And what do they all have in common? What's the connection? And prophetically, why did Jesus celebrate Hanukkah? Did you know, and again, the title of this message is Hanukkah, and the Millennial Temple and the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. And did you know that there's only one new holiday mentioned in the entire New Testament? Did you know there's only one new holiday? There's a bunch. There's about nine holidays mentioned in the Old Testament. But there's only one holiday that's mentioned that's actually spoken of in the New Testament. And it's not an Old Testament holiday. Can anybody guess what it is? Hanukkah, that's right. You got it, Hanukkah. It's not Christmas, it's not Easter, it's Hanukkah. And this is, you know, where Western mindsets really diverge from people who go to Israel, from Jewish thinking, Jewish thought and Greek thought. This is where we diverge big time, because if you understand Hanukkah, you would understand why Jesus celebrated it, and we're going to learn that today. So turn to John chapter 10 in the New Testament, please. John 10, verse 22. It says, at that time the feast of the dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. Okay, so I'm going to stop right there, verse 22 and 23. Now, people, what's a feast of dedication? You know, what's a feast of dedication? It doesn't explain it. Does your Bible tell you on the side or in the bottom, Hanukkah? Does it say Hanukkah? Anybody? Does anybody's Bible say that? Does anybody have a Bible? Bill, does yours say Hanukkah? Okay, William's Bible says Hanukkah. Okay, please bring your Bibles. It's important that you read the word and not just listen to me speak it. It's important that you actually open a book or, you know, most people, yeah, you can have an iPad or something, but it's really better just to have a Bible and read it. It's important that you look at it. So please bring them and take notes too, because you're going to learn stuff, and I'm going to give you scriptures that I'm not going to read. Anyway, so I'm going to read this verse again. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. Well, the people who translated this Bible obviously didn't want you to know that the Feast of Dedication is Hanukkah. And it was wintertime. Everybody say wintertime. And it was, and the word Hanukkah means dedication. And it took place at Jerusalem in the winter, and Yeshua was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. Now, I want you to know, today's cold. It's probably 40 degrees out, and it's rainy, okay? This would be a typical day in December in Israel. How many of you know that a day like today, this would be a typical winter day in Jerusalem? Right now, what the weather is out there would be a typical day in Galilee, from between Galilee and Jerusalem, this kind of weather, and Yeshua walked about 80 miles. Jesus walked about 80 miles, possibly in weather much like this, okay? And as he got higher, as he climbed the mountain of Jerusalem, it got colder. As he left, you know, it's cold already. It's cold. I've baptized in the Jordan River in Galilee this time of year. It's cold. Aja, was it cold the day we baptized you? Remember, it was about this week. It was right this time. We left on the day after Thanksgiving. So about, it was around this time we were in Galilee. It might have been this day that you were went in the water, that you were baptized. It was cold, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was okay, though.
You're tough. Okay, but it was cold, though, wasn't it? It wasn't beach weather, was it? No. Amen. In fact, it was so cold, some people didn't go in, self-included. But that's not because I wouldn't go in. It's because I had cancer. So we baptized a bunch of folks that day. We have pictures. But the point I'm making is it was in this 40-degree, 35-degree, 40-degree weather with rain and cold that Yeshua, our Messiah, that he walked all the way 80 miles to be in Jerusalem for this feast of dedication, which is, we Jews call it Hanukkah. And your Christian Bible puts it maybe in little tiny letters, if at all. Mine doesn't even say it, Hanukkah, but I know it is because the word Hanukkah means dedication. Amen? And that's the winter holiday that Yeshua celebrated. That's his winter holiday. If you want to follow Jesus, celebrate Hanukkah. Amen. In the winter. That's the December holiday. We're at the beginning of December here. That's the December holiday that the Messiah celebrated. No trees, no lights, no fur, no presents, no balloon, all the shopping and as Jews call it, chazarai. None of that, you know, sales and Black Friday and Cyber Monday, all this stuff and commercialism and elves and no Santa Claus and no reindeer. It's just Hanukkah. Hanukkah. What is Hanukkah? And why? It's the only... Now, let me read on here. That's right. The Feast of Dedication is Hanukkah. Look it up. Hanukkah means dedication in Hebrew. Perhaps somebody translated as the Feast of Dedication because they didn't want you to celebrate the New Testament Feast of Hanukkah. Perhaps they called it the Feast of Dedication because somebody who translated your Bible didn't want you, they wanted you to gloss over that and say, not even notice it. Amen? They wanted you to read John 10:22 and not even notice what you were reading. They didn't want you to see Hanukkah. They didn't want you to know it was a Jewish holiday. Some will say, well, surely, Rabbi, it's an Old Testament feast. But it's not. That's right. Hanukkah isn't under the law. Hanukkah didn't begin until some 200 years after the Old Testament or the prophets were completed, after the book of Malachi was written. Hanukkah didn't even begin until the Old Testament ended around 400 B.C., and the Hanukkah story took place in 168 to 165 B.C., so over 200 years after the Old Testament was completed, Hanukkah began. It is not under the law. It is not under the Torah. It's a New Testament holiday, purely. And the only Bible that it's mentioned in is the New Testament. It's kind of funny to me why it's a Jews celebrate it, but it's in the Christian Bible. It's a Jewish holiday that Christians celebrate. I mean, that it's a Jewish holiday that Christians don't celebrate, for the most part. Isn't that strange? It's bizarre, but that's because you've been indoctrinated. You've been indoctrinated and trained not to celebrate it. And after all, so what is a feast of dedication anyway? Some will say, surely it's an Old Testament feast, but that's not right. As I said, it's not under the law. Hanukkah, as I said, began about 160... Well, the story was 168 to 165 B.C., but... It didn't start, you know, the celebration came later, okay? So we'll look at these and see, we'll see the connection to the millennial temple, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the bride of the Messiah. And maybe when you learn why Jesus celebrated it, remember, this isn't about me. This isn't about being Jewish. This is Jesus. Amen? This is Yeshua. All right, what is Hanukkah? In a nutshell, the Greco-Syrian tyrant Antiochus Epiphanes was a descendant of a guy named Seleucus. Now, Seleucus was one of Alexander the Great's four generals who divided and inherited Alexander's empire, which is read in Daniel 8, one of my favorite chapters. Alexander's empire was divided into four weaker kingdoms, okay? And a guy named Seleucus was one of the four generals that he divided. He was given one quarter of the empire. Everybody say one quarter. One quarter of the empire. And he inherited Syria, Media, which is part of Iraq, western Iraq, northern Iraq, Assyria, Syria, the country of Syria, Lebanon. He inherited Media, maybe parts of southern Turkey, and he inherited Lebanon, and he happened to inherit Israel. Now, in 168 BC, after a failed attempt by Antiochus and his army to conquer Egypt, and he was humiliated because the Romans came and they said, don't mess with Egypt. And he backed off when the Romans and the Egyptians came against him. He decided, I'm not going to win. And so on his way back to Syria, he stopped in Jerusalem where he took his frustrations out on the Jews, as so many tyrants love to do throughout history. He desecrated the temple of Israel, sacrificed a pig on the holy altar, and let the light of the seven-branch menorah, or lampstand, as you see right here, he let the light of the lampstand go out. And you can see the lampstand is out right there. We did it for you today. We let the light go out for you. Amen? Just so you could see a picture. Antiochus intentionally... Thank you. Antiochus intentionally tried to humiliate the Jews. He banned the Torah, the Bible. He banned circumcision, the Sabbath, and other Jewish worship. He even sent his soldiers from town to town to build an altar and to enlist local Jewish priests to sacrifice pigs, unclean animals under the law of Moses, on an altar and force the people to eat it and also to bow down to an idol in the image of Zeus. So that's when he went from town. He sent his soldiers from town to town. And he had his soldiers. They would find a priest who didn't want to get his throat cut, and they would force him to sacrifice a pig on the altar in that town, and then they would make the people eat the pig to humiliate them, and because the people kept kosher, they didn't eat swine's flesh under the law of Moses. They didn't eat that, and so. Also, he forced them to bow down to an idol, to an image of Zeus, the great god, false god of the Greeks. Amen? Zeus. So a rebellion began in the town of Modin near Jerusalem. The Syrians had a massive army compared to tiny Israel, a massive army. It would be like Costa Rica fighting the United States. That would be about the size of the army of the militia of Israel compared to the army of Antiochus would be like the Costa Rican army fighting the army of the military of the United States. Not much of a battle there. But a rebellion began in the town of Modin near Jerusalem. The Syrians had a massive army compared to tiny Israel, but a Jewish militia led by the Judah Maccabee and his brothers succeeded in defeating the mighty Greeks, who were, the Syrian. There were Greek, Syrian Greeks. They were kind of a mixture. And 3 years to the day when they desecrated the temple. 3 years, the Jewish militia led by Judah Maccabee and his brothers, they defeated, and others who joined them, they defeated that militia, beat the Syrian army, the mighty Greeks, in 3 years to the day when it was desecrated, the temple, when they had desecrated the temple on the winter in the 25th day of the biblical month of Kislev. Everybody say Kislev. Okay, Kislev. So now this year, Kislev 25 happens to fall on Monday, the 23rd of December. Now, Kislev is not the 12th month. It's not the same as your Western calendar, January, February, March, April, May. That's the Western calendar. It's called the Gregorian calendar. But the biblical calendar, the 10th month is Kislev, and it's similar it falls around the same. Hanukkah always falls around the same time as Christmas, okay? But actually, Hanukkah came first, all right? It came way before Christmas. You know, Hanukkah came 500 years before Christmas, 400 to 500 years before Christmas. Okay, so let's go on here. So actually, the day of Hanukkah began to celebrate, when they celebrated it, the taking of the temple, taking it back from the Syrians, was the 25th of Kislev, which corresponds to the 23rd of December. We have these calendars from Israel. They're parallel calendars. They're art calendars, and they teach you about biblical days. Any days, dates in the Bible are not the same as January, February, March, April, May. You learn about biblical months, and it's a beautiful calendar. They're a great gift. For your love gift of $20 or more, we'll send you one of these calendars, and you can just contact us at www.forzionsake.org, www.forzionsake.org. You can call us or our office, or message us on Facebook, and you can get one of these calendars, okay? Anyway, let's move on here. So, the 3 years to the day, the Jewish militia defeated the mighty Syrian army 3 years to the day on the 25th day of the month of Kislev, which is the biblical 10th month. After this miraculous defeat, the Jews began to clean the temple, to repair it, to consecrate and dedicate the holy altar that Antiochus had defiled with a pig. Another miracle of Hanukkah is that the Jews only had enough consecrated oil to light the lampstand for one day, but the oil burned for 8 days until fresh oil could be consecrated. This is the most well-known miracle of Hanukkah. Hallelujah. So I'm going to say that again. Another miracle of Hanukkah is that the Jews only had enough consecrated oil, olive oil. It takes 7 days, according to the law of Moses, to consecrate fresh oil. So when they took back the temple, they found one vat of oil that was consecrated, that was sealed. And it burned for 8 days. It was only enough for one day, but it burned in the lampstand for 8 days, and that's the primary, the most well-known miracle of Hanukkah. Why did Jesus celebrate Hanukkah? Why is it in the New Testament? Now, I don't take anything for granted, and you shouldn't either. If it's in the Bible, you shouldn't take, even if it's just one sentence in the Bible. You know, Jabez prayed. Amen? Yeah. Jabez prayed. Oh, that you would bless me indeed, that you would expand my territory, that you would keep me from evil, that I might not cause pain. And God answered his prayer. Amen. And that created one of the four biggest books, that prayer of that one guy, Jabez, or Javits, if you ever heard of the Javits Center in New York. Javits is another way of saying, or Yavits in Hebrew. In English, we call it Jabez. It's like people say, I heard a preacher call a guy Jairus, Jairus. You heard of Jairus in the New Testament? Well, in Hebrew, his name would be Jairus. Amen? Jairus. But in English, people, instead of Shekhinah, they say Shekinah. Instead of Malchitzedek, my righteous king, they say Melchizedek. Because people don't know how to pronounce Hebrew, so they butcher it. I've given up on trying to straighten it out. I just go with it, I just roll. I roll with it, baby. Like that Steve Winwood song says, "Roll with it, baby." I roll with it, baby. Why did Jesus celebrate Hanukkah? Hanukkah wasn't in the law of Moses, so why did Yeshua walk 80 miles from Galilee to the temple in the winter and to celebrate Hanukkah? What was he doing there? Well, there's several answers. First of all, without Hanukkah, there would never have been a Messiah. Without Hanukkah, there would have been no Messiah, okay? Antiochus' goal the Greco-Syrian king was out to destroy the Jews, and their homeland, Israel. Had he succeeded, there would never have been a Joseph and Mary, a little town of Bethlehem, a baby Jesus, a temple, or a city of Jerusalem to bring him to dedicate him. There would have been no Anna the prophetess, or Simeon, or three wise kings, or the shepherd in the fields, shepherds in the fields. There would have been none of that. That whole story that she called Christmas, it wouldn't have happened. Amen? Because if it was his goal, like every tyrant dictator who has attempted to destroy the Jewish people, he attempted to destroy, he banned Judaism, he banned circumcision, he banned Sabbath, he banned keeping kosher, he banned worship, Jewish worship, he banned Jewish holidays. He wanted the people to assimilate into the Greek culture, which was called Hellenism. He wanted the people to assimilate into the Greek culture, which was known as Hellenism. But they didn't. Most of them didn't want to. Some did, but most of them didn't want to assimilate. So, like every tyrant dictator who has attempted to destroy the Jewish people and homeland, Antiochus failed. The victory of Hanukkah of the Jews over tyranny led to the birth of the Messiah and the fulfillment of prophecy. But as it relates to Hanukkah, Yeshua is not so focused on himself. He's not celebrating Hanukkah about himself. The scriptures say he humbled himself unto death, even death on a cross. Philippians 2:8. When Yeshua teaches us about himself, it's not because he's prideful. It's because he's humble. Amen? And when we teach others about ourselves, we should teach them about our humility from a humble spirit. When we testify about what God's done in our life, we should testify with a humble spirit, not with pride. So being the one who gave his life for you and me willingly, Yeshua had other reasons for celebrating Hanukkah. Let me explain. Let's make Hanukkah simple for Christians and all believers. I've been watching a series called The Crown on Netflix lately. Where do traditional Christian or Jewish weddings take place? If you answered in a church or a synagogue, you are correct. Traditional Jewish or Christian weddings take place in a synagogue or a church. They usually take place, some churches are small and some are huge. The Vatican is perhaps the mother of all churches. In the same way, traditional and Messianic Jews tend to get married in synagogues. Some synagogues are small, and some hold thousands of people. The temple at Jerusalem was the greatest synagogue of all in its day. The Bible speaks of a millennial reign. The Bible speaks of a millennial reign, a thousand-year reign, of the Messiah on the earth. See Revelation 20. Let's turn there. Revelation 20, verse 2. And 7. Hallelujah. Revelation 20, verse 2. And he laid hold of the dragon and serpent of old, who is bound, and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. Okay, there's the first mention of the 1,000 years. Then in verse 7, when the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. So there's a 1,000-year reign. Now, you have to understand, why 1,000 years? Well, a day to the Messiah, a day to God is as 1,000 years to man. And so we're in the sixth millennium. We're in the sixth day, or the 6,000th year since creation. On the biblical calendar, we're in the year, praise the Lord. Who can tell me what year this is? 5779. I'm sorry, 5780. 5780. We're in the year 5780, 5780. Not 2019, but on the biblical calendar, we're in the year 5780. That means we're on the sixth day of the biblical calendar, of God's calendar. The sixth millennium. The seventh day, everybody say the seventh day, is the beginning of the seventh millennium, and that's the thousand-year reign. That's the Sabbath. That's God's Sabbath on earth. Amen? That's why we have the weekly Sabbath, to remind us that there's going to be a millennial reign on the seventh, on the seventh day. The 1,000 years. Remember, a day to the Lord is as 1,000 years to a man. Amen? Amen. We all agree on that?
Yes.
A day to the Lord is as 1,000 years to a man. So God's Sabbath is going to be 1,000 years of peace on earth. But then Satan's going to be released at the end of that period. He'll be bound up for 1,000 years, and there'll be peace on earth and you know, goodwill towards men. And then Satan's going to be loosed, and it's going to be hell on earth for a brief period. There'll be a big war. Okay. Now, during that period, there will be a millennial temple. During the millennium, there will be a millennial temple. Now, that's not the temple they're trying to build in Jerusalem right now. Okay. Ezekiel 40 through 46 talks about the millennial temple, and that's the Ezekiel temple. It's never been built. The one they're trying to build in Jerusalem is patterned after Solomon's temple or Herod's temple. It's different. It's a man temple. That's the Antichrist temple. You don't want anything to do with that. You shouldn't be giving to it or donating to it, because you're ushering in the Antichrist by supporting that temple. All right? It has to come, but I wouldn't suggest you support it. Ezekiel 43 describes the altar of that future temple, the Ezekiel temple, which has not yet been built. It is a prophetic temple for the millennium. After the millennium, there will be a new heaven and a new earth with no temple. Revelation 21:22, which tells us, Revelation 21:22, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. That's when the new heaven and the new Jerusalem come down from above. There will be no temple. After the thousand-year reign, there will be no need for a temple. Amen?
Right.
Amen. Thank you. So, which leads us to the question, why will there be a need for a millennial temple? Why will there be a need for a temple during the thousand-year reign? Why will there be a need to build the Ezekiel temple? From chapter 40, Ezekiel 40 to 46. Perhaps for a rather large Jewish wedding? Maybe? Could there possibly be, when the seventh day comes and the Messiah returns and comes to earth and marries his bride, perhaps the wedding will be in the temple at Jerusalem? What do you think? You know, perhaps, let's read on. I think that's exactly why there's going to be a temple. In fact, God will reestablish the Levitical priesthood. A lot of Christians ask me, they say, why is the priesthood going to be reestablished? Why do there have to be sacrifices again? Well, who's going to feed the guests at the wedding? There's going to be a big feast. Revelation Revelation 19:7, we can read it. Talks about it. Praise God. Verse 7, let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. But he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. And then again in verse 17 and 18, let's read that. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, this is after the coming of the Messiah. What? Interestingly, the Messiah comes in Revelation 19. After the seal judgments, after the bowl judgments, after the trumpet judgments, the Messiah returns in Revelation 19. It says in verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are the flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. Yeshua is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress and the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If that doesn't tell us who the coming of Christ in Revelation 19, not 13, not chapter 6, not chapter 2, way at the back of the book. Better get a hold of that one, folks. Okay, so verse 16 and 17. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds which fly in mid heaven, come assemble for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of commanders and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and those who sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free men and slaves and small and great. Praise the Lord. You see, the marriage supper isn't just for people. The birds, the vultures and the birds and the hawks and the ravens are going to eat the flesh of the dead who tried to fight the Messiah, tried to fight the army of God and were killed. They're going to be devoured by the scavenger animals, while God's people go in and have the supper of God, the wedding supper, which is right there in Revelation 19. Let us rejoice and be glad. Verse 7, give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Praise God. It's all right there. And so the Bible speaks of a millennial reign of the Messiah. During that period, there'll be a millennial temple, spoken of Ezekiel 40 through 46. Ezekiel 43 describes the altar of that future temple, which has not yet been built. It's a prophetic temple for the millennium. There will be a new heaven and a new earth with no temple in Revelation 21 after the millennium. Why will there be a need for the temple, the millennial temple? For the marriage supper of the Lamb, to worship the Messiah, to worship Jesus. We need a temple. Amen? And why is there going to be a priesthood, a Levitical priesthood established? To feed the people, to sacrifice the animals, to feed for the wedding feast. Amen? God even says, and some Gentiles will serve as Levites. Isaiah 66:21 tells us that. Many people ask, why would God bring back the sacrificial system? The answer is, who's going to cook the wedding feast? The marriage supper of the Lamb, which we just read in Revelation 19, 17, and 18. In fact, the marriage supper of the Lamb occurs in Revelation 19, immediately after the return of Yeshua, of Jesus, immediately following his return to earth. It's not in the clouds. And see, this is where the Greek thought and Jewish thought diverge. In Greek thought, everything happens in the clouds. We're going to get married in the clouds. In Jewish thought, we're going to get married in a synagogue. In the temple, the millennial temple. Which makes more sense to you? In the temple. Is God, did Jesus die with, did they crucify him with spiritual nails in his hands? Did they hammer spiritual nails? Did he have a halo? Was he floating on the cross? Was it in the clouds? Or did brutal men, Roman soldiers, put real spikes into his hands and take, you know, leather and strap him up to a wooden cross, amen? And he gave up the ghost. He died a horrible, suffocating death on the cross. That's how he made atonement. That's how he died for your sins and mine, amen? Yes. It was a physical death, not a spiritual death. It wasn't some ethereal death in the clouds. So much of Christianity is in the clouds. Get your head out of the clouds, people, and come back to earth. We're so cloud focused that we're no earthly good. Good preaching, Rabbi.
Yes, amen.
I think that's exactly why God will reestablish the Levitical priesthood and the sacrificial system. There will even be, as I said, Gentiles who serve as Levites, Isaiah 66:21. And in fact, the marriage supper of the Lamb occurs in Revelation 19, immediately after the return of Yeshua, the King of the Jews, where it says in Matthew 27:37, calls him the King of the Jews. That's right. Yeshua returns in Revelation 19 after all the fireworks, seal judgments, bowl judgments, and trumpet judgments. Many believe that he takes his bride up to the heavens for a floating wedding in the clouds. However, there is no scripture to support that. There is no scripture that supports a wedding in the clouds. However, there is no scripture. It is true, according to the Messiah himself, that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day, John 6:40. Oh, wait a second. What did he say? John said that everyone who looks to the Son of Man and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6:40. Ooh, raise him up. 1 Thessalonians 4:15 says, "For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, we who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep or died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the sound of the trump of God, and the dead in Messiah will rise first." What did he say? "I will raise them up at the last day." But who rises first? The dead in Messiah on the last day. It's right in the Bible when the resurrection and the harpazo, the catching away. It says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the sound of the trump of God, and the dead in Messiah will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord." Amen. And that will happen on the last day. He says it. This is not my words. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, says it in John 6:40. And people dream about this pre-tribulation rapture, and they don't read their Bible. He says the dead will not precede, the living will not precede the dead. 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us the living, in verse 15, the living will not precede the dead in order of resurrection. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the sound of the trump of God, and the dead in Messiah will rise first. When do they rise? John 6:40. Everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Is it clear? Couldn't be any clearer. Yes, does he come in the twinkling of an eye? Sure does, on the last day. Does he come with the sound of the trumpet? Yes, he does, on the last day. Does he come with the shout of the archangel? Yes, he does, on the last day. Praise God. So get ready, folks, because you're in for some fireworks here. You better figure out God's plan, because if you've been preached something else, you've been lied to. And if you want the truth, you ought to pray about where to go. It is quite clear from the scripture above that the resurrection of the dead on the last day, John 6:40, precedes the harpazo, the catching away, or the rapture. However, there is no mention of a wedding in the air. In fact, if you read Zechariah 12:14 and Revelation 19:20, you see the Lord return from heaven to earth along with his holy ones. Zechariah 12:14 and Revelation 19:20. He returns to earth, but there's still no mention of a wedding in the sky on the last day. So if I'm right, And I could be wrong. Pray about what I say. I always say, don't take my word for it. I'm preaching it, but pray and ask God for confirmation of what I'm saying. But I am giving you scripture here. Does it make sense? Has what I said made sense about the millennial temple? Has what I said made sense about the Levitical priesthood coming back to cook the wedding supper? The birds of the sky, the beasts of the field are going to have a feast themselves, and those who love the Lord are going to have a special supper at the temple in Jerusalem. We'll be feasting with the Lord for 1,000 years. How awesome is that? And that's why we need a priesthood. Praise God. And a sacrificial system. So if I'm right, the main purpose of the millennial temple is Messiah is to build a beautiful altar. He'll probably build the temple. And in Zechariah 14, it says when he sets foot on the Mount of Olives, Zechariah 14, there'll be the temple mount will split and it'll separate. It's going to be the biggest construction project humanity has ever seen. God's going to build this massive temple. I believe he's going to just create it, speak it into existence. And he created the earth, right? He created the forests and the trees and the fruits, and he created man. He took woman out of man's rib and made her beautiful Eve, right? Wasn't she beautiful? Chava in Hebrew. She was a beautiful, you know, and he made her as a helpmate to Adam. Amen? And men have been sweating ever since she ate the apple. Praise the Lord. The feminists are going to love me for that one. But that's what the Bible says. Anyway, the point is, God can speak anything into existence. That's why it calls him the Word of God. His name is the Word of God. Praise God. All right, let's talk about the Antichrist. So if I'm right, then the Messiah, he's going to come back and build that temple. Because nobody else doesn't say that Solomon builds it. Doesn't say that David builds it. It doesn't say about Wendell building it. It just says it's going to be built. I think Yeshua is going to build it. If you were going to marry a woman and you didn't have a place to marry her, would you build one? Huh? Would you build something? If you were going to get married and you were passionate about your bride and you didn't have a place to marry her, and you would you build some kind of altar or church, or if you depending on your skills, would you build something? Amen. Let's talk about the Antichrist. In 2 Thessalonians 2:1-5, we are told about the coming anti-Messiah who sets himself up in the premillennial temple, the Antichrist temple, the one they're trying to build right now. Orthodox Jews are taking gobs of Christian money to build as we speak. And Christians are giving money to the Orthodox. Did Paul ever give money to the Pharisees? The Orthodox are the heirs to the Pharisees. They're the modern Pharisees. And they're taking Christian money in the millions of dollars, tens of millions, to rebuild the Antichrist temple. And Christians are supporting it. They're bringing in the Antichrist. Christians are doing a great job ushering in the Antichrist. Yeah. How strange is that? Because they don't know. They think they're doing a good thing because it's Jewish, because it's Israel. But they don't understand that not everything in Israel is good. Not every leader in Israel is good. Not everything in Israel is God. There's good and there's evil in the USA. There's good and there's evil in England. And there's good and there's evil in Israel. Yes. Amen? Praise God. All right. So, in 2 Thessalonians 2:1-5, we're told about the coming anti-Messiah who sets himself up in the premillennial temple. This anti-Messiah will stop the sacrifice after 3.5 years and usher in the abomination of desolation. Daniel 9:26-27 tells us that. It is then, having fooled the world and the Jews, this anti-Messiah will be recognized for who he really is. He shall require the Jews and others to bow down and worship him as God. Does that sound familiar? Remember Antiochus Epiphanes, who set himself up in the temple of God to be God back in 168 BC and caused what the book of Maccabees refers to as the abomination of desolation. He banned Judaism. He sacrificed a pig on the holy altar and forced Jews to eat swine's flesh and bow down to idols of Zeus until God raised up the Maccabees to deliver Israel and free the temple in just 3 years. The Hanukkah story is a foreshadow of the coming Antichrist. But this time it won't be Antiochus and the deliverer won't be Judah Maccabee. This time it'll be the Lord Yeshua the Messiah himself who will destroy the beast and the false prophet. See Revelation 19, 19 through 20. So you are seeing why Yeshua celebrated Hanukkah. There's a parallel. The story of the Antichrist is a picture where he desecrated the temple of God, just like Antiochus, in the Hanukkah story, desecrated the temple, sacrificed a pig on the holy altar, created an idol to worship, and it created what the book of Maccabees calls the abomination of desolation. In fulfillment of that prophecy, the Antichrist comes 2,000 years later, give or take, comes to give it, 2,100 years later, and he desecrates the temple, sets himself up as God, builds an idol, tells the people to bow down and worship him. And this time, instead of Judah Maccabee coming to destroy and take over the temple and kick out the Syrians, this time it's Jesus Christ who comes back to defeat the Antichrist and the false prophet. In Revelation 19, it says that praise the Lord, it says, and the beast was seized, verse 20, and I saw the beast, verse 19, in chapter 19 of Revelation, and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army, and the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet who performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. That's like Judah Maccabee defeating. That's the fulfillment of Judah Maccabee defeating Antiochus Epiphanes. It's the fulfillment of the prophecy. So when Jesus celebrates Hanukkah, he's looking ahead to the fulfillment of his own prophecy, to his own coming back with his bride, to his building his temple and consecrating and dedicating it and rededicating the defiled altar, building a new one, creating a priesthood, and marrying his bride and having a wedding supper. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's all about the bride. Yeah. It's all about the bride. He's doing it. Why did he celebrate Hanukkah? Because he's going to marry his bride at the temple and he's going to defeat the Antichrist there, and it's prophetic and he's fulfilling prophecy. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you see, are seeing why Jesus celebrated Hanukkah, God's biblical winter holiday, John 10:22. Yeshua is the fulfillment of Hanukkah. He is the one who fulfills the prophecy of the Hanukkah story that took place 165 years before he was even born. Let's look at the altar and the wedding. Where does a traditional bride stand when she gets married? At the altar, of course. But if the great supper of God, Revelation 19:17, the marriage supper of the Lamb, Revelation 19:9, is to take place in the millennial temple, then perhaps that is why the largest construction project on earth occurs when Yeshua returns. Read Zechariah 14:4. I propose that Yeshua himself will return with his holy ones, defeat all those from the nations who fought against Jerusalem, as it says, and Israel will supernaturally rebuild the temple for the millennium that begins on that day. Why will he do this? Because he's going to make sure there's a millennial temple, complete with priests, Levites, sacrifices, and a consecrated, undefiled altar, where he can enter into vows with his bride, just as the Maccabees cleansed and repaired the temple 165 years before the birth of the Messiah. He will come back to not just repair, but build the 1,000-year temple of Ezekiel 40 through 46. Now, I can't prove that he builds it. It doesn't tell us who builds it. But it's going to be built. And it's going to be during the millennium. Amen? And since it doesn't tell us that David raised money, or that Solomon raised money, or that Zerubbabel raised money, or Nehemiah raised money, nobody raised money to build it. Strikes me that God himself builds it. Amen? Because he doesn't need no money, does he? Amen? He owns the rocks. All right, conclusion. I believe that I've made a good case for everything I've written here, using scripture as much in the story of Hanukkah as much as possible to support what I say. But as I say to you, don't take my word for it. Pray about what I'm saying, because I've probably given you some stuff you've never thought about. So many Christians have asked me, why does the Levitical priesthood have to come back? It's to feed you at your marriage supper. Hallelujah. Pray about it. We can read these verses for decades, but until God gives revelation and puts the pieces of the puzzle together for us, then well-intentioned preachers and Bible teachers tend to send us all up in the clouds. It's easy to just send us up to the clouds with no real or plausible explanation for why there will be a millennial temple, a return of the sacrificial system, or even a prophetic understanding of Hanukkah. That's why God sent me to you. Raised in Judaism, instructed by rabbis, and now filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, born again rabbi for Jesus to help you make sense of the things that formerly made no sense. I am thankful for those of you who are blessed by the words of my teaching. If you are blessed, please feel free to get a copy of this. You can order it. We can send you a copy of the CD. You can share it with your friends. They're $7. maybe a little more for shipping, but they're $7 for CD. You can call our ministry. I encourage you to sign up for the Zion letter. Go to www.forzionsake.org. Sign up for our newsletter. It's a teaching letter. It's all teaching. On December 20th, we're having our community Hanukkah service. You don't have to be Jewish. If you want to come and learn more about Hanukkah, there's a lot more to teach. Come on down on Friday, December 20th at 6:30 p.m. Bring your friends or your Bible study group. Thank you for your prayers as I've been going through cancer treatment. I'm very grateful. You know, I've been here for 5 weeks every week as I'm going through cancer treatment. I've been here every week standing in this pulpit. And if I can be here, more people can be here. Amen? I want to thank you for your prayers. I want to thank you to those who support this ministry. You know, we send our newsletter in black and white because we can't afford to send it in color. But with your donations and your support, we can put it back in color. And we have a lot of needs here. So please support For Zion's Sake Ministries. And you can go to our website, www.forzionsake.org, and you can support this ministry. We'd love to send out our newsletters in color. There's many other needs that we have. We just put in a new water heater, we need a new driveway. We need a sign on our building. We have a lot of needs here. So thank you to those of you who already support us, and thank you. You know, this Christmas season, the season of giving, it's nice. I want to give you an opportunity to give back to the people who brought you the Messiah. Yeah. How about that? Amen. God bless you. And whether you celebrate Hanukkah or Christmas, we wish you a blessed holiday season with family and with friends, and a healthy and prosperous new year. We love you. Thank you for watching. And have a blessed Shabbat. Come and join us. You don't have to be Jewish. And I don't bite. I just nibble. Please stand up. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai vayishmarecha. Ya'ir Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah and Prince of Peace. Shabbat Shalom. God bless you. Happy Hanukkah. Come join us on the 20th at 6:30 p.m. How many Mad Greekers again? One, two, three, four. Any other Mad Greekers? Ask for a table for about five or six people. Thanks. Thanks, Jacob. Hello there, Marilyn. How you doing? Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.